Good morning, and welcome to another in our series of mini shiurim on the Book of Ezra. We're learning in the merit of the IDF, Israel's emergency services, the hostages, and the injured. And we're in chapter 4 of Ezra. The Jews have started to build the actual Beis HaMikdash. They set up a Mizbeach. They're starting to build the Beis HaMikdash itself. And at the end of last week, we saw the Samaritans send the Jews a message, Samaritans being the people who the Assyrians moved into northern Israel when they exiled the 10 tribes. The Samaritans send a message saying, we would like to take part in building this new Beis HaMikdash. The Jews refuse the request, whether it is because they thought the Samaritans just wanted to sabotage them, or because they felt the Samaritans were going to want to use it not only for worshiping Hashem, but also for their Avodah Zarah, for their idolatry. Either way, the Jews refuse. And so we're told in chapter 4, sentence 4, Vayhi am ha'aretz merapim yedei am Yehuda. This nation of the land weakens the hands of the nation of Yehud, meaning Judea, meaning the tribes of Yehud and Binyamin, and those who have returned from Bavel. Umevahalim osam livnos, and they were mevahel them. Mevahel behala, they were intimidating them, they were confusing them. Ibn Ezra notes that this is actually a case of Uktiv. There's a different way that it is recorded, that it's written in the text. It's written as umivalahim. Balaha is a term we're familiar with from Eov. It means to frighten. They're trying to frighten us. Rav David Altshuler in the Metzudas David says there wasn't anything physical at this point. They're just intimidating them. And it continues in sentence 5. V'sochrim aleihem yo'atzim lahafer atzasam. They brought in counselors to try to ruin our plans. Metzudas David says these were advisors, meaning lobbyists with the king. Kol Yemei Koresh Melech Paras, they did this all through the period of Cyrus of Persia, the Ad Malchus Daryavesh Melech Paras, until the reign of Darius, king of Persia. Right now we assume this is Darius the First. We're going to have to talk about that in a bit. And sentence 6, Uvmalchus Achashverosh. And they did it during the reign of Achashverosh, Betchilas Malchuso, in the beginning of his reign. Kasvu Sitna al Yoshve Yehuda Virushalayim. They wrote letters opposing the residents of Yehuda and Yerushalayim. Who is this Achashverosh we're talking about here? This is his sole appearance in Ezra and Nehemiah. We mentioned him when we started the book and talked about the problem of identifying the Persian kings. So Rashi thinks this is the Achashverosh of the Purim story, and he puts this Achashverosh between the reigns of Cyrus and Darius, which by the Persian list of kings, the historical version of it, that would make him Cambyses II, who is the king between Cyrus and Darius the First. Ibn Ezra disagrees. Ibn Ezra says it's Artaxasta. Artaxasta is Artaxerxes, who is after Darius the First, which makes the chronology here odd. We also noted when we introduced the book that Ibn Ezra's account of the Persian kings is a little bit odd. He says different things in different places. There are various ways to identify it. However you slice it, whichever way you read it, we're going to have to deal with some problems in terms of understanding when exactly the opposition was that we are describing here. Right now, what we've seen is that they're writing letters and generally frightening the Jews from the period of Cyrus until the period of Darius, and they did it in the reign of Achashverosh. Sentence 7. Uvime Artaxasta, during the reign of King Artaxasta, Kasav Bishla Misridas Tavel Ushar Kinovosav Al Artaxasht Melech Paras Artaxast Melech Paras Uchsav Anishtavan Kasuv Aramis Msurgam Aramis. So what we're going to see, and I'm going to talk about this more, is that during the days of King Artaxasta, this is a fourth name, we've seen Cyrus, Darius, Achashverosh, and now Artaxasta, they wrote a letter, and that's going to be in Aramaic, and we're going to talk about the contents of the letter. But what we need to understand right now is what can we figure out about who this Achashverosh is? What's the deal with Artaxasta? Who is he? When is all of this in relation to Darius? So zooming out, broader view of this section in Sefer Ezra, it looks like this. We've seen that there's opposition from the enemy from the time of Cyrus to the time of Darius. We've seen that there's opposition in the time of Ahasuerus. We just said there's opposition in the time of Artaxasta, and that is a letter which is going to be discussed from sentence 7 all the way to sentence 23 in our chapter, and we're going to say it lasts until the second year of King Darius. Then in chapter 5 into chapter 6, the Jews start building their second Beis HaMikdash. The enemies appeal to King Darius. Darius ultimately will approve the building anyway, and then the building will continue and will be completed in the sixth year of King Darius. And then we are told Artaxasta sends Ezra back to Judea. So what that has to mean, or it sounds like it means, is that Artaxasta is after Darius, right? That's the way that this would look, because you're talking about him sending Ezra after they've completed the Beis HaMikdash in the time of Darius. On the other hand, we're getting this passage here where they write a letter that we just started on, the Aramaic letter, which is in the time of Artaxasta. And then it's going to last until the second year of Darius. So is Artaxasta before Darius? Is he after Darius? I feel really bad for anyone who's following along with this shiur and is not looking at a book of Ezra, because I don't know how any of this is going to make sense. Nonetheless, I'd like to show you two approaches. There are quite a few approaches, but I want to show you two approaches to try to figure out what is going on in this passage here, because it's very confusing. The text itself is simply confusing. The fact that the text is giving us, first Cyrus, then Ahasuerus, then Artaxasta, then Darius, and then going back to something with Artaxasta is itself confusing. So one approach is found in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Gimel Amud Beis. It's also found in the Medrash in Seder Olam. Rashi brings this idea. Malbim brings this idea. And that is, there's one man. His title is Artaxasta, the royal title. Like Pharaoh, his title is Artaxasta. What's his name? His name is Darius. However, sometimes we call him Cyrus to indicate that he is kosher. Cyrus, Koresh, Kasher. That he's a good king. So fundamentally, it's all one human being. Artaxasta is Daryavesh, who is Koresh, who is Cyrus. Now, the truth is, when you look at the Gemara in context, it actually doesn't seem quite to say that. It seems to think that Cyrus and Darius are two different people. But the way Rashi brings it here, and Malbim brings it here, is that we're saying, no, they're all the same person. They're all the same person. How does that help? Well, it preserves the chronological order of the passage that we are describing. The way to read it then, the way to read our passage is the opposition started in the time of Cyrus, right? And continued in the time of Artaxasta, because Artaxasta is Cyrus. And then it continues until the second year of Darius, because they're all the same person. Who is Ahasuerus is a good question within this, but that's the idea. Rashi actually even notes that the gematria of Koresh, if you write it without a vav, is 520. That's the same as the gematria of Daryavesh, which definitely demonstrates that they are the same person. So that's the idea. It's a little odd because it also means that Cyrus permitted them to go back and build, then pauses it, and then permits it again. Which is strange. Like, why exactly did he pause this? Also, why are we using their names interchangeably in the book? Even if they have, a title that's a royal title of Artaxasta, and they also have the name of Daryavesh, like, why is the book not doing that? Not to mention, in chapter 6, sentence 14, we're going to use all of the names separately as though they're dealing with different people. If you look ahead at chapter 6, sentence 14, you'll see what I mean. So this is an interesting answer because you've solved the problem, I guess, by saying that they're all the same person. But it does create other challenges, not to mention who is Ahasuerus in all of this. That's one approach. I'll give you another approach. There are more approaches we could bring, but I'm just going to bring one other approach. And that is the approach of Reb Zrachya Halevi, a Rishon also known as the Baal HaMaor, who gives a nod to the Gemara, but he says, I'll tell you pshat. Pshat is there are four different kings: Cyrus, Artaxasta, Darius, and then another king named Artaxasta. He says you have four kings, And there happened to be two named Artaxasta, one before Darius and one after Darius. So now I can understand actually pretty well. First of all, the opposition began. Pause for 1 second. Okay, sorry about that. The way that the Baal HaMor is going to read it will work very well with the Psukim. The opposition started in the time of Cyrus. That is true. The opposition continues with the letter that we're going to read about in chapter 4 in the time of Artaxasta, who is a separate king. Then you have King Darius, who is the one who is going to allow the Jews to continue building. And then, after the Beis HaMikdash is built, then you will have a King Artaxasta who's going to send Ezra. They're all different people. There simply are two Artaxasta. So the Baal HaMor says, that's really the way we're supposed to do it. That will work with chapter 6, sentence 14 as well. About the only problem you'll have is making this work with the secular list of kings, in which Darius the first is before Artaxasta, so maybe this Darius here is Darius the second. For those who want to be confused further, I'm really happy to do that, but I have a sense that that's not really where everybody's head is. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time on trying to work this through. But the bottom line out of all of this, and what I hope we emerge with today, is the opposition that's coming from the Samaritans is, at this point, diplomatic. They're fighting it on diplomatic grounds. They're writing letters to the government to try to prohibit the Jews from building the second Beis HaMikdash. And that's really where it's going to go ahead as we read about this letter. Which kings they were dealing with? Frankly, less significant for our purposes. Either you take the Gemara's approach, all these kings are the same guy, these are just different titles for the same human being, or alternatively, take the Baal HaMor's approach, these are all different kings. Fundamentally, what matters more to us right now is what the Samaritans are doing. We'll continue with that, God willing, on Monday.